It often feels during the period of Advent that at church services a lot is focusing on the Advent part of it, John the Baptist, Mary, Joseph preparing. Then all of a sudden Christmas comes and goes, and we're then in towards Epiphany with the wise men and everything else. And other than maybe Christmas Day, we don't really get the chance to think closely at the events of Christmas and the full impact of it and what happens. Yes, the nativity play comes along and that's lovely and that almost makes Christmas. But I thought I'd take the chance today just to focus a bit more on Christ and the fact that he has appeared and appeared for each of us. And by now I'm sure you've had more than enough repeats of the various Christmas songs getting played in the shops, the shopping centres, on the radio and so on. Can I briefly just ask you to think of one, and if you happen to be listening to Classic FM at 20 to 12, 20 to midnight last night, you'd have heard an instrumental version of this. But it's the one from John Lennon, Yoko Ono and the Plastic Ono Band. It's called Merry Christmas, War is Over. It begins, so this is, and I won't sing it, so don't panic. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. Let's hope it's a good one with plenty of cheer. And so it goes on. We can always hope, can't we? Or can we? So this is Christmas. Have you ever said that with more resignation than excitement? Have you ever said it with more disappointment than joy? So this is Christmas. Somewhere in a family gathering, there'll be a moment when hearts are torn because the place at the table is empty where a precious loved one has been. Cherished traditions will be robbed of their joy. How can we put the star on the tree without Uncle Bob? We will have Christmas dinner now that Grandma's no longer with us. How can we hang all the other stockings when little Billy won't be here to enjoy his? Joy to the World was Father's favourite carol. How can we sing it without him? Will we ever have joy again? So this is Christmas. Somewhere a soldier patrols the streets of a shattered city. His mind is not preoccupied with turkey and mistletoe, gifts and carols, or candles and lights on the tree. Every sense is alert. Every nerve is on edge. Will it be a roadside bomb? A suicide bomber or a sniper. Celebration is the furthest thing from his mind. Survival is his all-consuming thought. So this is Christmas. A hungry child shivers in the cold, waiting for a soup kitchen to serve Christmas dinner. The annual holiday reprieve from life as usual. For a moment, warmth and food will intoxicate his senses. Tomorrow, it's back to the dustbins and cardboard shelters, back to hunger and homelessness. When will they ever stop wandering from town to town? Will his mum find a good job so they can move beyond scratching out a meagre existence? So this is Christmas. Now, how do we pay for everything? We've maxed a credit card and borrowed to buy Christmas, only to receive a P45 2 days before the holiday. Where do we find a new job? How do we meet all our financial obligations? So this is Christmas. Do cancer and caroling go hand in hand? How does a broken body sing, 'tis the season to be jolly, when fear and sickness sweep over you in waves? Where do you find a voice to sing, fa-la-la-la-la? So this is Christmas. Fire, earthquake, tidal wave, food, drought, blizzard, accident. The timing of tragedy is never kind. Death catches humanity unaware. Injuries and inconveniences cause schedules, change schedules, and alter lives. So this is Christmas. A Roman decree sends families scurrying back to their ancestral cities to register. Enrollment means taxes. And as we all know, taxation without representation is galling. It's oppression and tyranny. The families who go back to their ancestral homes to register so they can pay taxes are an oppressed people who live with cruel taskmasters and know the bitterness of Roman rule. So this is Christmas. Day by day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, century fading into century, for 400 years there had been no voice of a prophet. The heavens have been silent. No word of the Lord, no revelation from God, and no promised Messiah. The people prayed, deliver us, O Lord. There has been no deliverance. So this is Christmas. A poor peasant couple takes shelter in a stable among the livestock. There, the woman labours. She pants and groans. Sometimes sharp cries escape her lips with the intensity of her contractions. The man waits, anxious and dutiful, watching, praying, doing all he can to help comfort his young wife. A little rough-hewn trough, used to feed the donkey just a few hours ago, now stands filled with mouldy, dusty hay, ready to receive a child. This is Christmas. In our world, the biblical world, the human world, it's a broken place. The reality we experience day after day doesn't change when we wake up on Christmas morning. The celebration of Christmas rarely heals any wounds or fixes any of the problems we have lived into that day or will carry with us out of it into our tomorrows. We call this a season of hope and joy and love. But what do we mean when we use these descriptors? Are we possessed by some mentality with its head stuck in the sand when it comes to reality? Do we use Christmas as an escape from the harshness of living, like some euphoric cultural drug that titillates our dulled senses into believing in peace and goodwill despite all the evidence to the contrary? How is there hope, real hope, life-changing hope, when Christmas comes and goes each year after year, leaving nothing more than a sweet aftertaste in our mouths so that we can't wait until it comes round again? Thankfully, the scriptures aren't fantasy or wishful thinking. The hope given according to the biblical revelation comes to us at night. There's something realistic about the darkness of the night. We sing, "It comes upon a midnight clear." But it wasn't a midnight clear. It was a dark night that represented a cold, hard, broken, sometimes lonely, sometimes cruel world. The kind of world you and I live in. Into that world, where people weep and are hurting and are broken, there was a cry. It was a cry of a fragile little baby breaking upon history. Strips of cloth are wrapped round his tiny body. His mother nuzzles him close for warmth and nourishment. Does the wonder of the picture still amaze you? Or have you gone through so many Christmases that you've become deadened to the mystery? In the fragility of a tiny baby crying at his mother's breast, where livestock nervously move about, and a weary peasant leans against the wall, wondering how he will care for his family, the hope of the world comes in. This is Christmas. The hope of the world comes, and no one notices. The world is oblivious. Why would it take notice? Babies are born all the time. No one recognizes that hope has been born. The couple in the stable with their baby have some idea. Words of revelation have been given to them. Promises and visions and dreams have been communicated to them that this child is much more than he seems. He is God's gift to humanity, a savior, a rescuer, the hope of the world. This is Christmas. No one else has the foggiest idea, however. No one even notices that the child has been born. No king, philosopher, priest, or religious leader is aware. No one knows. until a group of angels break the tranquility of the night sky outside Bethlehem, where shepherds are keeping their flock. As they fill the quiet night sky with their heavenly glory, they announce a message, a word of revelation, tidings of great joy. A Saviour has been born to you. The angels highlight a peasant child and say, "Don't be afraid. Here is a word of good news. A Saviour has been born for you." The good news not only for the select few, the rich and powerful, the beautiful people, those who have it all. No, it is good news for everyone. The poor, the foolish, the sinful, the broken, the hurting. This is news for all people, and it is good news. A Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. You will know what we say is true when you run into Bethlehem and find a broken hovel of a stable. Within it, you will see a peasant couple and a fragile baby. Baby will be wrapped in bands of cloth, and when you see them, you will know God is at work among you. You will know there is a Saviour. Then the angels began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." The babe in the manger is the hope of this world, and this is Christmas. The babe in the manger is exactly what we need. We're a hopeless cause. We can't fix ourselves. We can't make our day better by trying harder. We have no future. We have no promise. We have no hope. That's us. We couldn't change if we wanted to. Try as hard as we might, no matter how hard we try, we are hopeless. The good news the angels sing over us, however, is a Saviour has been born to you. A Saviour has been born for us. We needed rescuing, and God has provided a rescuer. We needed delivering, and God has provided a deliverer. We needed redeeming, and God has provided a redeemer. We can be forgiven. We can be pardoned. We can experience reconciliation with God. We can become sons and daughters of God. This is Christmas. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and by renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That comes from Titus chapter 3. Jesus is our hope, for he is our Saviour. He is the only one who can rescue us from the brokenness of our world. He is the only one who can deliver us from the shackles of sin, death, and hell that so dominate our day-to-day reality. In him is our hope. And this is Christmas. Jesus is our Saviour. He's also our Christ, our Messiah. He is the promised one, in whom all the promises of God are yes. Isaiah chapter 9 had prophesied, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is our Saviour, our Messiah, our Peace, our Lord. Scriptures in Matthew chapter 4 declare, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Jesus is that light, of course. He is the light because God knows we live in a world of darkness. God didn't send Jesus into a Cinderella world where everything ends happily ever after as Cinderella and Prince Charming go riding off into the sunset. God didn't send Jesus into that kind of world. He sent him into a world filled with Roman centurions, filled with heartache and hardship. That's the kind of world into which God sent Jesus and sends Jesus still today. Jesus comes to a world where people mourn and grieve, where hearts are broken and sin reigns. He comes because he is the answer for that kind of world. But if Jesus is not the answer for that kind of world, he is no answer at all. Christmas is a charade. Jesus is a charlatan. And if Jesus is not the answer for a broken world, we need to stop pretending. We need to stop playing the Christmas game, silence the carols and throw out the gifts. We need to get rid of the nativity scenes and make sure we throw the baby out as well. If Jesus is not the answer for our kind of world. But he is. For our greatest heartaches, for our greatest sorrows, for all the situations and circumstances that call us to feel so hopeless, Jesus is the answer. This is Christmas. This is why we celebrate. The story continues with three kings. We don't know if it was just three, but they have three gifts. The kings come to Jesus. One king bears frankincense, another carries myrrh, and the third brings purest gold. But we forget, however, that there is a fourth king and a fourth gift in the Christmas story. It's the king lying in the manger. And while one holds frankincense and another myrrh and another the purest gold, this king holds the hope of the world. Let me ask a question. Have you taken the one who holds the hope of the world and held him in your heart this Christmas season? No matter where we are in life's journey, no matter how busy or complex our lives may seem to be, no matter how transfixed we've become with the darkness of circumstances around us, there is one who comes to us on Christmas morning and invites us to experience a birth of hope. His coming is not false hope, and not hope that doesn't make a difference. His coming is hope that transforms us, transforms life, and makes all things new. His name is Jesus, sweet little baby Jesus, a crucified and resurrected Saviour. Have you taken the one who holds the hope of the world and held him in your hearts this Christmas season? That night, only a group of shepherds on a hillside saw and came and received and went away praising God. There were lots of other people in the vicinity. I'm sure there were some in Bethlehem who thought they were seeing the aurora borealis in the night sky. None went and found the Christmas child, however. Would that be true of any of us today? The hope of the world is in our midst, but we can miss him. We are in the vicinity of the greatest gift ever given, yet fail to recognize or take time to go, to see, and to receive. This is Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. Have we held him in our hearts? Has he become our hope? Whether we've known him all our lives or have never known what it is to be in a personal relationship with him or find ourselves somewhere in between, will we receive into our hearts Jesus, our hope, afresh and anew today? Will he become not just the hope of the world, but our own personal hope as well? In the words of the song, "So this is Christmas, and what have we done?" Amen.